process of transformation, part three. Transformation into the character and the nature of Jesus is a full-time occupation. And it's imperative that you keep your heart and your mind from being fed the wrong things.
Yes.
The Bible talks about protecting your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart will spring the issues of life. We need to get a vision in our hearts of where we're going in God or where we want to go in God. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." King James says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." Vision is extremely important if you are going to fulfill God's plan for your life. We need to have a vision. God told Abraham to go outside and look up. And what did he see? He saw the stars. And God told him, get a vision of this because that's what the number of descendants you're going to have. And that must have been overwhelming for him at the time, because who could believe that? Who could believe that? But God often gives us vision that is well beyond our capability, well beyond it. And he was making Abraham a promise. And we look today and say, has God made us a promise?
Yes.
Do we have a promise in the Word of God that applies to us? And do we have a vision in our heart regarding that promise? Why do you need to have a vision? Why did Abraham need to? Because it'll always go through a time of testing, always. The devil doesn't want you to have a vision. And if you don't have a revelation of that promise, if you don't have a vision of that promise, in the testing you will perish. You will cast off that restraint. You'll lose the promise. Abraham had to believe God. He had to believe God. And it took him years to get to that place where he could believe God. Keeping the promise in front of you. It's difficult at times to keep the promise in front of you. Seeing yourself receiving the promise. The Bible talks about how we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and the word temporary there means subject to change. But what is unseen is eternal. That's 2 Corinthians 4:18, I believe. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal." God gave them the promised land. He gave it to them. But just before they went in, he said to Joshua, "Toughen up. Toughen up. Get your act together. You're going to have battles in this." Now, why would he have to do that if God gave him the promised land? Because there are going to be battles. You have to possess what God gives you.
Yes.
The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You have an enemy, and he wants to stop you.
Yes.
He wants to stop everyone from receiving God's blessings. And he's reasonably successful at it because people quit. When you quit, you don't receive. That's why you have to press into the promise. You have to keep renewing your mind to receive the promise. You have to protect your mind. You have to protect your ears. Every thought has the potential to produce an image on the inside of you. Every thought. If I say dog, we all think of something. different, but we all think of something. We all think of a dog, some kind of dog. If I say brown dog, same thing. Once we get an image on the inside and we start to meditate on that word of God, what we're doing is we are constructing. We are constructing it from the unseen realm and bringing it into the seen realm. God calls that calling those things that be not as though they were. Calling those things that be not as though they were. The image starts on the inside. And once you start to nourish that image through words that produce thoughts, thoughts that produce image, image that produces reality. That's how the Word of God works. Faith is the substance of things thought of, hoped for. Your faith is the substance of what thing? The thing that the promise of the Word of God that you are filling your mind with. That's the substance. It's causing an image on the inside of you. That's what happens when we take the seed of the Word and we plant it inside of us. It starts to produce an image. That's how God made it. That's how God made His Word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. They have a life of their own." And if we'll plant them and nourish them and care for them, if we'll soak in them and meditate in them long enough,
yes,
they'll produce a stronghold.
Amen.
God will become your stronghold.
Amen.
If we start thinking in a negative fashion, we get a negative stronghold. That'll never make it. It'll never work. We start, and then we bring that to pass. It never works. But God says, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things. All things. And you know what? God is never caught off guard.
Amen.
You know, he never goes, "Oh my, my, I didn't know this was going to happen." That never happens in heaven. That never happens. Regardless of what may happen to us and how shocked we may be, God's never caught off guard. And He always has a plan. How do you know He always has a plan? How do I know? How do you know He always has a plan? How do you know that's true? How do you know? Am I telling you the truth? Well, you hope so, but how do you know? Where's that? Yes, where? 29. "I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. God has a plan.
Yeah.
You know, we think, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm overwhelmed." But God has a plan. God has a plan. The plan's been sitting here, and it's just waiting for you to come and say, "What is it? What is it?" We're feeling overwhelmed. We're feeling, "What am I going to do?" And all we got to do is go to God and say, "What's the plan?" Well, I can tell you part of the plan because it's universally applicable. This is something that every one of us has to learn to do. Every one of us. If you don't learn to do this, you are always, always, always. Can I say that again? Always.
Yes.
Always going to be a mess. Always. It's a very simple plan, but it's not easy to do. It requires faith. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it is verses 4 and 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." So we're not to criticize back and forth or do evil things to people. "But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." What's a stronghold? A house of thoughts. is a stronghold. A house of thoughts that has matured into something that now dominates and controls your thinking. Casting down arguments. What's an argument? What argument? See, it's not much help if you don't know what it means. Casting down an argument. An argument is something that says opposite of God's word. That's an argument. That's an argument. And God says, cast it down. Cast it down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is something that contradicts the word of God. You'll never make it. You won't be healed. We know 6 people who died from what you have. You're never going to get that job. It's not going to happen. That's exalting itself against the word of God. Bringing every thought, not every third one, but every thought. Why do we have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? Why do we have to do every thought? I mean, that's not hard. Why can't we just do every third or fourth one? That's like saying, you shot 6 bullets at me. Why do I have to stop everyone? Why can't I just stop the third and fifth one? Why can't I? Because the first, second, third, or first, second, fourth, and sixth are going to kill me. That's why I can't. You understand? One thought going through, one thought. That's all it takes, is one thought that we let through. And we start to think about it. And it can rob your faith. And it, before you know, poof. That's what the enemy will do. That's what he'll do. Strongholds, they come from thoughts. It's patterns of thinking. Patterns of thinking. And God tells us to pull them down. He tells us. So what do? We pull them down. What do? We replace them. It says to the obedience, to the obedience, to the obedience. You can never do that. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. What is the thought that would replace that? I'll give you a hint. Philippians chapter 4 says, I can do all things through Christ. All things. All things. All things. There used to be a computer program called, I think, Guard Dog. And the purpose of this was to keep cookies out, you know, out of your machine. And in much the same way, we need to guard our eyes. Psalm 101 verse 3, important one, it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Why not? Why not? What harm does it do to watch something bad occasionally? What harm does it do? It opens the door. We need to guard our ears. What am I listening to? What does Mark 4:24 say? Mark 4:24. See, these are important scriptures. Let's read it. God is wanting us to protect ourselves. He wants us to protect ourselves. Take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Because with the same measure that you hear, it'll be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So if you're listening to the Word of God, you'll get more. But if you're listening to things that are harmful, you know, words can produce fear. Words can produce fear. If you don't think so, You go sit down by the ocean, stand out there about 30 feet when there's people all around, and yell, shark! Just yell shark. See if it has any reaction. Words can produce fear. And third, of course, most important is the most important thing. The mouth. The mouth. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. It's critical, the things we say, because they mold our future. They mold our future. A thought pattern is something that has been allowed through our eyes, our ears, our mouth. We've allowed it to come into our lives. And we've got to take authority if it's not from God. We take the Word of God and we confront it. We confront it. We confront it and tell it, you can't stay. 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 I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. Listening to some of the music that especially some of the young folks listen to, the heavy metal stuff, and they don't realize that the impact that it can have and how destructive it can be, or movies that are inappropriate. They can cause a lot of trouble. What they don't realize is that the thought that comes into their minds through listening to these things or watching these things, it goes into incubation. We start to incubate that thought. We start to incubate it. Now, does that make a difference? Well, let me ask you this. The first day that a woman is pregnant, is there any visual difference? Typically, no. There's no visual difference. However, conception has still taken place, hasn't it?
Yes.
It's still taken place. And so we can receive something into us that we don't want, and it can go into incubation and we don't even know about it yet. We don't find out about it until it becomes a stronghold in us. That's why it's so critical that we guard our hearts, because just like the seed in the womb of a woman, it begins to grow, it begins to develop. And 9 months later, out it comes. The Word of God is a seed, and it can produce wonderful things. But negative things can do the same thing to us. And just because we don't receive or experience the result of that thought or that action right away doesn't take away from the fact that it's in there working on us. Conception takes place whether we realize it or we don't. That's why God's put all of these safeguards in His Word for us. Because He wants to protect you. God wants to protect us. He knows what these things are capable of doing. Sometimes people get wounded by some malicious gossip or an unkind act, and a seed has been sown. And if that seed is nourished and cared for, it produces bitterness, hatred, animosity, unforgiveness. All the things that block us from receiving from God becomes a stronghold in our lives. That's why you have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. We don't want to give place to the devil. The Bible talks about don't give place to the devil. Because he's always looking for a place. Peter talks about how the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Thought comes up that so-and-so is an evil person and you can't stand them. Take that thought captive. Take it captive. Don't let it gain a stronghold in your thoughts. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from putting a nest in your hair. You can't stop a thought from coming through, but you don't have to lay hold of it and pull it in and say, yeah, this is mine. This is what I want to think about. We don't want to do that. We don't want to give him place. God knows that do you know what the word see means there? The word see means they will be admitted into the presence of God and he will share his good treasures with them. That's what it means.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall enjoy the presence of God and he will share his secret treasures with them. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. I think God is trying to tell us something. He knows that if we will allow these things to incubate in us, they'll destroy us. Not overnight, but they'll set the pattern off. Your root, you know the plans God has for you? They're going to get derailed. They're going to get derailed. Because in order to follow those plans, we've got to stay on the right path. And narrow is the way and few that find it, the Bible talks about. If you stay close to God, and he will give you the grace to release these things, to release them. And it's a lifelong process. Don't think because you did something today to get rid of it that you'll never have to do it again. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. It becomes a way of life. If you want your faith to work, faith works by love. That's how it works. It's that simple. If I can't stand you, even if you deserve it, my faith won't work. It won't work. In fact, in due course, what will happen to me? Yeah, okay, that too, but what else? Something even more painful. Matthew 18, what happens? You get turned over to the torturers. It's not worth hanging on to. I promise you, it's not worth hanging on to. No matter what it is, it's not worth. And we all take shots from people. We all do. Some more than others, but we all get them. We all get them. It's to your benefit not to let them stay in you. God will help you to get rid of them. God, and you know what, maybe it's not going to happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a long time. But if you're working at it all the time, if you're open to it, if you're asking God to show you the areas, he will. And your faith will have a much easier time growing. You know, faith comes from hearing the word of God. And if you soak in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will get a revelation of Jesus that is overwhelming, overwhelming. And Jesus was criticized by professionals, you know. I mean, there wasn't anything good they could say about him. Whatever he did, they criticized. If he healed on the Sabbath, they criticized him. No matter what he did, they criticized him. But he kept his heart pure. He kept his heart pure. Now that had to be somewhat difficult. I mean, when you think of someone who is absolutely perfect, being criticized by imperfect beings continually, and then beaten and whipped and so forth, and he still maintained it. On the cross, he looked over to one of the thieves and saved him. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. We get a vision of God's compassion. You get a vision of God, and you can't get it if you hold bitterness in your heart. But if you will release that stuff and repent of it and ask God for a vision of His compassion, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with examples of Jesus being moved with compassion. And what did His compassion cause Him to do? To heal. He was moved with compassion when He raised the widow of Nain. He was her son. He was moved with compassion when He healed blind Bartimaeus. He was moved with compassion when He healed the leper. He was moved with compassion when He healed the Syrophoenician's daughter. Moved with compassion even when He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yes.
And God will be moved with compassion for you. He'll be moved with compassion for you because God loves you.
Yes.
He loves you. But His word, He is bound by His word. And if we hold bitterness and unforgiveness, He can't help us. Can't help us. Because He would violate His word if He did that. So it's up to us to go to God and get cleansed, get really cleansed. Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. And it takes some work to do that. I'm not telling you it's easy. If it was easy, everybody'd do it. It's not easy. But we are capable of doing it. And it will change our relationship with God. It'll open doors that were closed before. And God will graciously impart Himself into your life. Amen? So Father, help us. Help us, O God, to be a people who are loving and forgiving, a people who don't hold any grudges to anyone. Help us, O God, to leave every grudge at the altar, every bit of unforgiveness at the altar. Just to leave it, forsake it, take it captive, and say, "You're not going to control my life. You're not going to. My relationship with God is filled with His compassion, filled with His grace, filled with it, filled. And I'm going to do it every day, Lord, every day. Every day to make sure that the enemy doesn't gain a foothold. And my faith is going to grow, Lord. My faith in You is going to grow. Because there aren't going to be any hindrances. There aren't going to be any reasons for You to withhold anything from me. You'll be able to do exceedingly abundantly all that I could ask or think. Because that's Your nature. That's Your nature. And so I pray for us today, O God. I pray for us as a body. I pray for every man, woman, and child of Abundant Life Christian Fellowship that we would lay down all insults, all hurts, all unforgiveness. That we'd lay it down and we'd see that it's for our good. It's for our good to release it. It's our good. And that whatever we hang on to, that gives the enemy a hook in us. He's got a hook. When I keep darkness in my soul, I'm giving Satan a hook into me. And I don't want to give you anything, Satan. I don't want to give you anything. Jesus said, "Here comes the enemy, but he's got nothing in me." God, help us to get to that place. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Help us, O God, to release every tiny thing, everything where the enemy has sought to stir it up. Help us to release it. Help us, Jesus, to release it. Help us to release it. Let me encourage you. Whatever it is, whatever anything is in your heart, any kind of bitterness, anger, resentment, hurt, pain, unforgiveness, bring it to the altar and just leave it here. Leave it here. Leave it here with God. Leave it with God. Just leave it with God. Let God take it from you. Let him carry it. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And he's told us to forgive. Whenever we stand praying, forgive, forgive, forgive. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. It's a personal matter with it goes on between each one of us and God in this area. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because I want to see us free, free, completely free, completely free. Just come to the altar, kneel, leave that burden with God. Just leave it here. Tell God you're not taking it with you. Tell him to ask God to forgive you for even having it. Let the Holy Spirit bring healing. Let him bring peace and mercy and joy to your heart. You know, it's no shame to that because every person on this planet suffers from this affliction. Every one of us. There are no exceptions to this. Every one of us suffers from this. And every one of us needs to go to God and ask him, help me, God. Deliver me from this sense of bitterness. Deliver me, God, from this hurt. Deliver me, Jesus, from the unforgiveness and bitterness that's in my heart towards this person. Help me, oh God, to be cleansed. Cleansed of it. I don't want it controlling my life. I don't want it controlling. So I humbly submit to you, Jesus. I humbly submit to you, Jesus, to cleanse my soul. Cleanse my soul, O God, and let me experience the joy of a pure heart and clean hands. Let me experience your presence in a refreshing way, a refreshing way, O God. Let my faith arise in your name, O God. Let there be no hindrance in fellowship between you and I, that I would enjoy the pure, pure fellowship of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just going to give you a few moments. Ponder these words. Do as you will, but I really recommend that not to give the enemy any place. He really wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants to hurt you. And God wants to love you. So let God love you by washing your soul completely clean. That's the wonderful thing. His mercies are new every single morning. Hallelujah, Jesus.